This episode of the Missed Spots podcast is sponsored by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial by going to audiblepodcast.com/missspots. Choose from over 150,000 titles that can be downloaded to your computer, iPhone, Android phone, or any other audio device. Get Terry Funk, More Than Just Hardcore, Dusty, Reflections of Wrestling's American Dream, or many other options. It can be yours for free by going to audiblepodcast.com/missspots. Thanks. Now enjoy the show.
Time to play the game!
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Missed Spots podcast. I am Mike.
I'm Kevin.
And we have watched a lot of wrestling in the past few days. We had the TLC pay-per-view this past Sunday. We had Raw yesterday. We had NXT TakeOver, R Evolution, very bad grammar, but very good show. I did not get to see R Evolution or TLC live, so I packed it into yesterday, and with Raw, I've watched a lot of wrestling in the past 24 hours.
You're a little burnt out now?
A tiny bit, but where should we start? Should we start with NXT, or should we start with TLC?
Let's start with TLC.
Okay. So TLC, the pay-per-view that didn't really mean a whole lot on paper, came to us this past Sunday from Cleveland, Ohio. And a lot of just really quickly thrown together matches on here. The main matches, of course, being John Cena and Seth Rollins, where if Cena loses, he loses his number one contendership for the world title. And Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose in a TLC match. First of all, overall thoughts on the show?
You always ask me that, and then I tell you first. I want to hear your overall thoughts on the show first.
I thought it was a very, very bad pay-per-view.
Very, very bad. Strong language.
With the exception of Dolph and Harper, which I thought was a very good match.
That was excellent.
I read a lot of people saying that there's a ton of unnecessary spots, and sure, maybe there were, but if those guys are willing to take those spots, is it unnecessary if they're willing to do it?
I think we're at a point now that there's been so many ladder matches. Now in like the back catalog of the WWE, there've been so many things have been done that in order to do new and interesting things, you have to set the table in a certain way that seems a lot very contrived and unrealistic. With that in mind, there were enough organic spots in the match that didn't break the flow of the match that were still intriguing and interesting. It was brutal to watch. I mean, there was the spot where Harper dove to the outside and it looked like he just broke his arm.
Yeah,
which was brutal to watch. I thought he. I was looking for the X, you know, for the ref to put the sign up that he wasn't going to be able to continue.
Both men bled hard way.
Yeah, absolutely. That match was great. I thought it was excellent. But my problem with it is they like to open the show with a strong match, but it was
traditional
all,
for booking a show.
But at the same time, it was all downhill from there. With so many gimmick matches, with that going on, going up first with the abilities of those two guys. I mean, when they first went out there and they were looking at ladders, I was just picturing Razor and Shawn because of the body types and their abilities to do things. Like, it had a good feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to go on first in that way, I just think it was just inevitable that it was going to be downhill. I didn't realize how downhill it was going to go. But I got done watching that pay-per-view, and I was just disappointed.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you exactly, like, every reason why it was bad. I just felt dirty. It was not satisfying.
Since
I got wasted my time.
Since I have asked you to come back into this world and start watching wrestling again, would you say that's the worst pay-per-view that we've had?
I can't think back to all the pay-per-views over the last year. Mm. It has to be in the top. It has to be one of the top two worst. Mm. I can't remember much about, like, Battleground and Payback. I remember not liking those very much, but it was disappointing. It was very disappointing.
As we mentioned, Dolph and Harper, that led off the show. Dolph winning the title back in the ladder match in his hometown, got announced from his hometown.
Instead of from Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah, which he'd never lived in
right.
before. Looking very CM Punk-like, wearing the hoodie, the black hoodie, having his wrists and hands taped up, black tights, black kick pads.
Did you see he had the old school Browns logo on the back of his tights? That was pretty hip.
Yeah.
It was a great moment.
Both men were legit hurt and had medical attention. I think Harper got staples in his head for a cut.
And can I say this? Two guys go into that match. Neither one. Harper is not hurt at all by losing that match.
No.
He went out and put on an incredible performance. He lost the title. He's still ascending the ladder, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not feel Harper going out the next night on Raw is any less of a threat to do anything. That is two guys in a match, and one guy goes over cleanly, right? I mean,
as clean as a gimmick match
can be, but there was no interference from the outside. No one prevented him from letting Ziggler climb the ladder, and he's just as strong. And we'll see, as we describe the matches later on, it can happen that way. You just have to let it, and you have to trust your talent and trust your storyline to get that over.
Yeah. We were followed up then by the tag team title match with The Miz and Damian Mizdow defending the titles against The Usos. Usos win by disqualification. Miz blatantly smacking one of the Usos with the title belt. If Dolph and Luke weren't the ones to go on first, I would have thought this match, except for how it finished. You can't have your first match finish with a no finish like that.
If this was the only finish that was kind of convoluted and kind of shitty, it wouldn't have been as bad. It was just, it was more to come after this one. Miz doing, he's supposed to do that. He's a heel, right? He realized that he couldn't beat them on this night and gets disqualified to hold on to the title. That is a solid, that's a solid booking for any heel champion to do that. But the match just never really got going, in my opinion. They did the thing with Miz putting his hands up and then Sandow putting his hands up and the cheering and the booing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you realize this, Mizdow never got in the ring.
Yeah, he didn't.
He never got into the ring.
Never legally.
Yeah, other than, you know, doing his little spots and things, this and that. But I'll tell you this. This was the first time I watched it and didn't laugh at him mimicking Miz.
I think I did. Didn't he hold himself up for a delayed vertical suplex?
He did.
I think I laughed at that. But
I'm not saying it's awful. I'm not saying I'm over it. I'm just saying this was the first time I didn't laugh out loud going, that's great.
Yeah.
This was the first time. So that tells me, at least for my taste, that this it's time to move on from that. What they should be doing, and who the fuck am I, but what I think they should be doing, Mizdow should be getting in the ring. You should see frustration building with Miz about his crowd reaction, and they should be building to these guys splitting up, which I think should happen at Royal Rumble, with the Usos taking the titles from them, setting up a feud between those two that could possibly end up at WrestleMania, if they can keep it going that long, with Ascension coming in and challenging the Usos. Now, that's just armchair booking for you. But this match, everything was with the Naomi and the backstage stuff, none of that paid off at all yet. Maybe they're playing the long con with that one. But it left me flat. Not getting Miz down the ring at all, and the way it happened, it didn't do much for me.
Miz Dow also was not... Wait. Oh, no, they had a singles match on Raw, that's right. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't, of course, part of that.
The thing is, when they split these guys up, right now, to the crowd, Sandow... I could go back and forth with Sandow and Miz Dow. Damian Sandow is kind of a one-trick pony. He's a comedy guy. They need to get him in the ring. They need to have him start slowly taking on his own offense again so that they can roll this into a successful character. And I think they can, but they're not doing anything to do that. They're not doing anything to go towards that. And if they drop the ball with a guy who is as over right now as he is with the crowd, it's their own fucking fault.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a chance to get a good a mid-card guy. Sandow right now could step out and be a very solid mid-card babyface and give you some entertainment on your show. And if he ends up splitting with Miz and ends up going back to what he was doing before, yeah, you got some good TV out of it, but you have all this momentum and have it killed.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the match?
It was very slow, I think. And... even though it was only 7 minutes, it really felt like it drug on a bit, and the finish was to keep it going a little bit because obviously you said you didn't watch Raw yet, so they continue the storyline a bit on Raw.
Yeah,
so it's still going.
I've seen all the
results.
Yeah,
okay, but it definitely wasn't the best match I've seen either of the four, and
they can do better.
Yeah,
they can definitely do better.
Then we were followed up by Big Show and Eric Rowan in the Steel Stairs or Steps, whichever mind frame you're from, match, and Big Show went over, and Big Show had a lot of the offense in this match.
To me, this was a better match than I thought it was going to be. I actually kind of enjoyed watching most of the match.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't great. It wasn't Ziggler and Harper, but it was a fine match. I think it was going fine until Big Show goes over Rowan. In my opinion, there is no reason why Big Show should be going over anyone at this point. He's enhancement talent. He has no credibility in the eyes of the fans with all his face turns, heel turns over time. He's a big son of a bitch. Having a guy that big and that strong, he can be putting over Rowan there would have been wonderful. Rowan is getting a good following now. People are starting to be excited about the character. He seems there's some interest there. And that's a situation where I feel, unlike Ziggler and Harper, the way that match was booked, Show dominated for the most part. Rowan had a comeback. Rowan's comeback was squashed. Rowan goes down. And now Show is moving on, it looks like, with a feud with Reigns.
Yeah.
So you get no retribution there either. Now you'd think maybe if, depending on who's in a feud with Ziggler for the IC title, maybe they're going to do the Rowan Harper thing, which is logical. And hopefully they can do something with that. But I would have, if you would have told me, I would have bet you $200 that Rowan goes over Show in that match. There seemed to be no reason. There was, to me, this Rowan going over Show and Ryback going over Kane were done. I didn't even think I had watched those matches to know the ending. I was supremely puzzled. It baffles me.
I agree with you 100% on that. Really blatant spot set up with the stairs, like stacking all the stairs in the middle of the aisle way, like, okay, eventually that's going to turn into something.
Right.
I know you got to set up spots, but setting them up that early, just like, okay.
And it was a stupid gimmick. The stairs thing was a stupid gimmick. The match was better than it had any right to
pin,
be.
Oh, the pin was awful.
Yeah.
He puts the steps over Rowan's stomach area.
Yeah.
Like, his shoulders are here. That's what you're trying to pin down.
I think the match was better than it had the right to be. The ending was just baffling to me.
Then we had John Cena and Seth Rollins. As I mentioned before, Cena loses. He is no longer the number one contender for Brock's title. Yes, he does still have that belt, I believe. And
who's Brock Lesnar?
I believe he is just the alter ego of Paul Heyman. John Cena wins, despite a little bit of a old Royal Rumble thing with, they both went through the table at the same time, or this guy, one ref says this guy won, one ref says that guy won.
How overbooked was that match?
So much.
I mean, Jesus. We have, John Cena is not an underdog. John Cena is not an underdog.
Yeah.
John Cena is not a fucking underdog. He's a 16-time world champion. He's been the face of your company for 10 years. He's not a fucking underdog. You might have to take the volume down on that at some point. And I apologize for anyone wearing earbuds listening to that. But putting Mercury and Jamie Noble involved in it, trying to make, oh, it's a 3-on-1 situation, and having them come in and clean up the tables after he put Seth Rollins through one, and having Reigns have to come back. I mean, Jesus Christ. We knew Cena was going to come out of this match, the winner. We knew that. I would have had no issue with him just going over Rollins in the situation. I'd have no issue with a good hard-fought match between the two of them, and Reigns comes in, you know, J&J Security comes out later in the match to try to do something. Reigns comes in and Superman punches both of them, and maybe then hits Rollins too, so that you maybe protect Rollins a little bit, even though I think that's still a stretch. I don't think there's a problem with Rollins losing that match, because I think his character's strong enough at this point. Especially with what they think they were doing with him now, what they might be doing with him now after what we saw on Raw. But everything they did in that match just felt wrong. And I'm so sick of seeing John Cena as, you know, overcoming all adversity.
Yeah.
Over every possible
rise
thing.
Above hate.
It's just, God damn it.
I'm actually starting to believe when Seth starts saying things like, they're taking my moment, they're ruining my moment. He might have a point here.
I would have loved to see Rollins go over Cena, and then some other kind of match set up for Royal Rumble to challenge Lesnar. I would have loved to see that. I would have loved to see Rollins go over Cena, and then have Rollins try to fight his way back into the position. But they went with Cena going over. Fine, but the way they did it, what about it, was just so anticlimactic and so goddamn boring.
Yeah.
There was two or three spots that Seth Rollins did that were incredible. He like flipped over a table instead of when he tried to do an AA. Cena tried to do an AA to him. I mean, there were two or three spots where Rollins.
Yeah, that was a nice little sequence. He flipped out of the AA, hit the ropes, and then leapfrogged Cena off of the table.
Right.
That was pretty nice.
There were some cool little spots involved there, but I don't care if it's a no DQ match. Are you telling me that there's no heel authority trying to keep John Cena down now? Are you telling me that that no one is booking that show? No one's in charge at all now in a billion-dollar corporation that's going to just let two other guys come down and be a part of matches with no problem? I know it's a no DQ match, but it's just so illogical.
And
it's no DQ for those two guys.
How is J&J still security? Like, Are they independent contractors? Well, I guess they're all independent. They are,
yeah. Good point, Mike.
But are they independently employed by Seth? I thought they were part of the authority.
Once again, it's just illogical.
Then we had Divas title match. Nikki defending against AJ.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to admit, because I watched this after, the day after, I fast-forwarded. I didn't even want
to
watch it.
No reason not to fast-forward through this.
I read the results, and I'm like, yep, not going to bother with that.
Why in the hell is Brie Bella hanging around with her sister after her sister screamed at her on national television, "I wish you had never been born"? Dumped milkshakes over her head. Now, there could be an explanation. We just haven't heard it. Why do we need to hear it? We're just watching a TV show that's supposed to complete storylines. Vince said that it's all about the storylines, right, on the podcast.
Yeah.
Steve, Austin. Well, just tell us what the storyline is.
Yeah.
They're not even telling us what the storyline is. So anyway, so they keep them together.
Maybe he got left on the cutting room floor.
Right, because there's not nearly enough. I mean, there's only 5 hours of TV every week.
You know who's the head writer? Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, hey, Mark. It's just, it's baffling. So I was thinking, I was hopeful for this one. I was like, all right, this is the deal. The reason why they haven't pushed this and it's been kind of puzzling is because Bree's been playing a con on Nikki the whole time. And Bree is going to turn on Nikki during the match, either A, to give the title to AJ and set up a feud between her and Nikki, or B, help Nikki win the title to get AJ out of the picture, then turn on Nikki afterwards, setting up a feud between the two of them, right? I was like, okay, maybe they're going to save this. Maybe they're going to save this. Absolutely not. She gets involved, then gets sent to the back, and then there's a hairspray or something in her eye. AJ's
arrogance.
And
she's Rick Martel.
If AJ comes back and they do a blindfold match, I quit. I fucking quit. And it's just, Nikki looks better in the ring, but she still, when things are slow and she can set up to do a move like a suplex, she looks fine. But going and transition from move to move with any kind of speed, there were two or three times that you can just tell that AJ landed awkwardly on a spot, or landed on her side, and it just, she's not good.
Mm-hmm.
She is a heel. She's a strong heel, I guess you would say, as far as the Divas division goes. She's a strong heel. But there's no reason for her to be the face of the Divas division. And if AJ's on her way out, which she very well might be, it's a shame that she had to go out like that.
In this day, you are a strong heel if the fans boo you. Because then you just become a face heel thing.
Yeah.
Like Bray.
Yeah. It's
to me, I thought up until the end of Raw last night that Seth has been the best heel in the company for however many months since he turned.
Sure.
Because the fans legit boo him.
You get straight heat.
Yeah. And that's not the way he's supposed to be.
And it's not because they're bored of him.
No.
It's not because they're indifferent to him and they want him to go away. The famous X-Pac heat. By the way, I listened to X-Pac and Jim Ross. I listened to their podcast just today. I think it was last week's. Good episode.
I got to listen to a good amount of podcasts with my traveling I did. And I finally listened to some Jim Ross, some Jericho, and some Austin.
Oh, yeah?
And I got to say, Ross is my least favorite of the,
really?
The ones. He gets very long-winded on things that he, like when I'd rather hear the guest talk.
Yeah.
And also his introduction monologues are really long and monotonous.
I agree to a certain degree. I still like it.
And hearing him read, like your sponsors.
Oh, his ads are brutal.
Yeah.
I don't listen to the first 5 minutes of the podcast, but can I just point something out?
Mm-hmm.
That was so much more interesting in what we were just talking about than anything that's happening in the Divas division.
Yes,
and that's how the transition happens. I want to talk about anything other than that. It was brutal, and it has been, and it has no reason. But so we just talked about, how many matches have we talked about so far?
Five.
How many shitty convoluted finishes? Three?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Then we had Ryback and Kane in the chairs match. Ryback goes over, as we all pretty much thought.
In a pretty boring match.
Yeah.
Because Ryback is kind of a one-trick pony. He's a big, brutal kind of dude. The fans, I don't think the fans are as far behind him as they were when he first came back. I think some of his crowd reaction is dying down, but the people still like to want to watch him. He needs to be in there with someone that can kind of carry him, kind of work with him. I don't think Kane's that person at this point in his career. The chair stipulation, there's no headshots allowed anymore. Mm-hmm. You put a couple chairs in people's hands and you say this is the weapon for the match, and they don't ever swing for the head. I don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to see these guys hurt each other. I don't want to see concussions. But it's a stupid stipulation to have a chairs match when you no longer can use the chairs brutally. I mean, don't get me wrong. Smacking someone in the back hurts like hell. But
when Lesnar did it on Big Show however many times.
I'm saying it still works. It's still brutal. But it's just illogical that they're not going to smash someone with the head with a chair if they have the opportunity to do so. The only interesting part I saw the entire match was when Kane threw the chair at Ryback as he was coming in for the meat hook clothesline. Mm-hmm. That was the only really good spot I thought of the entire match.
Yeah. And that pretty much, based off of what we saw on Raw, ended that feud relatively quickly. Kane had a little instance with Adam Rose and the Rosebuds.
Yeah.
And Ryback moved on to the man in the next match, Rusev, defending against Swagger for the 50th time.
Tell me what you thought about this, please.
I liked that Rusev was selling the ankle from the past week. At a couple points, they switched the leg, or at least Swagger did. Yeah. Rusev kept selling the correct one, the left ankle. But a few times, Swagger started working on the right, and I'm like, that's not the right leg. The fighting in the accolade, I was like, I liked that he was fighting it at first, and Rusev's pounding him on the side of the head, like that shows like a struggle that looks real,
right?
And then passed out, like, okay. And then out of nowhere, he's revitalized and then goes back down. I didn't get that.
Okay, so we're sitting in the booking meeting, the production meetings a month ago, or when they're playing this whole thing together, and they're like, all right, Rusev came out of Survivor Series. He's strong. He's the United States champion. What do we do? Crickets? Crickets, crickets. Okay, no one knows what the fuck we do. Let's put him back with Swagger again. Until we can figure out what the fuck we're going to do with this guy.
We don't have any other American gimmicks.
Well, but we don't have any. We don't necessarily have anyone we want to feed to him. He's already started in the upper mid card to the higher card guys. There's no one to feed to him right now. We can't have him lose right now. So give him back to Swagger. And then they throw the Zeb Coulter in the mix. They try to make it more personal after their feud fizzled out before.
Yeah, it's not so much America, but it's that you hurt my friend.
And that's all fine, but the match was short. Maybe it's because the Cena thing went
a little
wrong.
Less than 5 minutes.
Right. The match was short. It's just him fighting back out of the accolade just to go right back in the accolade. I mean, we all knew Rusev was going to win that match. It wasn't terrible. It just feels like filler. It feels like they needed a place on the card for the U.S. champ, which is good. They put the U.S. champ on the card because 6 months ago they wouldn't have even done that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Rusev is a very over character right now. He needs to be utilized better. It looks like they're doing something with him and Ryback, which that's going to be tricky how they're going to book that feud.
Yeah,
but
it's
good.
I think that they may have put Ryback, whether on purpose or inadvertently, into a corner here again. They did the same thing
with him
and Punk.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we built Ryback up good. Oh, and now we're going to put him in with Punk. Oh, shit. We got to have Punk keep the belt because he's got to drop it to The Rock. So we got to make him lose.
Well, who knows what they're going to do with that. You can lose a match and not be completely obliterated. You can do it. I don't have any confidence in the writing staff to be able to do something like that right now, but they can do that. There's a lot of ways to book around it, to work around it. Who knows what they're going to do, but at least they're putting you know, upper mid card guys together and letting them wrestle and something we haven't seen before. Let's give them credit. They're giving us something we hadn't seen before. Two big, powerful bruisers. Rusev moves around the ring really well. It's not a pure American gimmick with the foreign heel, which I like. So maybe we're going in a good spot with this. But the swagger thing, it was just filler. It was. It might as well not have happened.
Correct. And you could have given a little bit extra time to maybe the Usos and Miz and Sandow to maybe build that matchup a little more, but whatever. And then we finished off. This was surprising, actually, to me to see this as the main event, Bray and Ambrose.
I thought that at first I was absolutely positively convinced that it was going to be Cena and Rollins, and then I realized it's called TLC.
It is the namesake.
It's the TLC match. Just like it was, you know, they went on first in the Hell in the Cell or last in the Hell in the Cell match. Well, Ambrose and Rollins did.
Yeah.
So this was the second time we've had John Cena, who we thought was going to be the main event, that wasn't. That's a damn good thing.
Yeah.
That was very encouraging. The match to me wasn't. What did you think?
No, it started off all right and it had its moments, but once we really got into, hey, let's see how high Dean can jump off of things. It was like, okay, this is getting boring. It was great the first time. It was even good the second time. Okay, he's doing a third. Later on the match, let's get an even bigger one and have him do it again.
It took all momentum and steam out of the match to stop for a minute and a half to set this thing up. It just, there's no momentum. There's no build. It's like, okay, let's stop and go put this thing together and do this.
And again, to me, going back to what I said earlier, is they set up a spot way too far in advance, pulling out the monitor from underneath the ring and looking at it like, hey, I see myself on the monitor, and then just putting it down, and then it's not in play for another 10 minutes.
I feel like they're trying way too hard with Dean Ambrose right now. It started with the hot dog cart. It started with him bringing out a crash test dummy. It started there. They're trying way, way too hard.
Coming out of the ambulance with smoke and a neck brace.
I like that he broke Wyatt's chair. I like that was part of the angle. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to do creative. They're trying to do creative, quote unquote, things with him all the time, without just letting the guy. The reason why he got over is because he's fucking kind of nuts, and he's excellent in the ring, and he's unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Let him do that in the context of a match in the ring, setting the whole, picking the monitor out. It looked. There was enough moments last night where I actually watched that, or on Sunday night when I watched it, and I was really glad that my girlfriend wasn't in the room. Because I don't want her to see what I watch when it's that embarrassing.
Yeah.
And set up and convoluted. It's just cheesy. And then the finish, come on. The monitor explodes on him. So who does that serve? Who does the finish of that match serve? Does Bray look good because he won? No, he won because a monitor blew up on Dean Ambrose. Does Dean look good? Does he look like he got robbed? No, he looks like a fucking idiot who didn't understand that the cord was still attached, and at the very least, he wasn't going to be able to hit him with it. Who does it serve?
And the explosion didn't look very good.
No, it looked
like
ridiculous.
A sparkler.
Yeah, it looked ridiculous, and they always do when that happens. It serves no one. No one looks better after the finish of that match. And we said about this, we've said it before, how are they going to book these two guys together? Well, so far, they've booked two matches, both have been underwhelming to me, and both have been convoluted bullshit. Neither guy is elevated.
Yeah.
And then, let's suppose, okay, Bray Wyatt got the victory, right? Bray Wyatt won. Is he out on Raw the next night talking about his victory, talking about how he proved to everyone that the kind of man... No. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for a guy who just main evented your pay-per-view last night. No time. So, I mean, talking about just dropping the ball, fucking hand over fist.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that they didn't put them on to at least try to explain it. Though they were trying to hype it, like, they'll be on SmackDown. Like, they shouldn't have to be. They were the main event. Like, okay, not just saying that because SmackDown's quote-unquote the B show, but...
There's nothing wrong with them appearing on SmackDown. There's nothing wrong with Bray appearing on Raw and then Dean appearing on SmackDown, or vice versa.
Yeah.
But to have those two guys main event a pay-per-view the night before, and with such a stupid ending, and at least say, okay, guys, we know we booked ourselves into a corner here. This is how we had to end it, but we got something really good for you in the future. There's a plan here. There's a plan for a really great Royal Rumble match with no bullshit stipulations, and they're just going to wrestle, and we're going to see who the better man is. Nah, who knows? Who cares what happens?
But overall, very disappointing. Very, very disappointing pay-per-view.
4 hours of my life I'll never get back.
Three of mine. I didn't watch the pre-show.
Yeah, I watched the pre-show.
Where the New Day beat the Rhodeses.
All right, let's talk about the New Day real quick. I know we're going to get into Raw, and I know you want to talk. We want to talk about NXT. It is obvious up until at least last night they were pumping in crowd noise, at least on the SmackDown tapings, to make it seem like anyone gave a fuck about these characters.
Yeah.
Okay. They are just smiling jackasses, smiling baby faces. They might as well be, and I might have mentioned this in the podcast before, excuse me, I repeat myself, they might as well be high energy, right? They might as well be Coco Beware and Owen Hart wearing stupid gimmicky color-coordinated outfits and going and pumping their fists and jumping and, hey, everybody, everyone loves us. See how much we clap together. That, no one cares about that shit. The kids don't care about that.
Yeah.
There is no one that this serves. The only possibility, and I keep trying to give these people credit, the writing team credit, is that this is a temporary thing as we see them get pissed off and no one's responding to them and they turn into a heel faction that is the antithesis of this. Basically saying, we're not going to let the WWE tell us what to do anymore. Just like the original concept of the team we thought was going to be. Now we take what we want. Mm-hmm. What Xavier Woods says. That is the only saving grace this might have. I have zero confidence now that it's going to happen because they're just, once again, I don't want anyone I know that doesn't watch wrestling, I don't want anyone to know that I watch that.
You know, they could even make this, keep some of the high intensity, some of the preachy gospel-like stuff, but have it be, we take what we want now, and we'll go and get it.
There's nothing wrong with the three guys on the team. Mm-hmm. Nothing. They're good workers. They got good looks. They can wrestle. They have a good camaraderie to them. There's nothing wrong with the three guys involved. Let me repeat that. They have a lot of potential. They can be doing it so much better. It's the way that they've been written so far is atrocious. They could use elements of this idea with a more direct, in-your-face persona. And there's what they were quote-unquote supposed to be doing before they got pulled back off of TV 2-3 months ago, whatever it was, that was exciting.
Mm.
This is just childish nonsense. This is the Bushwhackers. I mean, there's no other way to put it. No one cares.
The Bushwhackers in the Beverly Brothers outfits. All right, so we'll go into Raw a little bit here. Chris Jericho was hosting the show, came out first, being cornball Chris Jericho face that he can be, and I just like seeing Chris as a heel so much more. We had Seth in there, we had Heyman in there, we had Cena in there, and Rollins is like, I want a rematch, but I don't want it tonight, because I had a hell of a match last night, and all this while Jericho is just kind of like standing around there, and I'm just imagining Jericho going in his head like, man, I wish there was a guy out here who could make this match, and then all of a sudden Cena goes, if only we had someone who could make this match. And Jericho goes, hey, wait, that's me. pretty lame. And then, of course, Jericho in a match with Paul Heyman where they get to vote. The fans get to vote on the match. And once again, the WWE gives us three choices that are all the same match. Aiden English said something on Twitter.
Oh, really?
To WWE. I believe it was, I'm paraphrasing, is like, excuse moi, ladies and gentlemen, but I believe those are all the same match.
You better watch himself, because Vince don't take too kindly to people, you know, calling out their show.
Yeah. We had... What did we had the Ryback, not Bill Ryback, but Ryback was on highlight reel and, or not, Rusev was, and then Ryback, because who cares?
Rusev. We're wrestling fans, people. Yeah. Wrestling fans of the WWE.
Yes.
Fans here.
Rusev was on the highlight reel. Ryback comes out and they start their thing. Kane has a backstage segment with Adam Rose and the Rosebuds and has a match, which I would like to say that the highlight of that entire thing was seeing ROH wrestler and independent wrestler Jimmy Jacobs as part of the Rosebuds.
I don't know who that is.
He's a really well-known independent worker, and he is a worker for Ring of Honor currently. And when they showed the backstage segment, I was like, wait a minute. Jimmy Jacobs, and when Rose came out, him and Jacobs like playfully did collar elbow tie ups to one another a couple times. I'm like, that is Jimmy Jacobs, but that was just a little highlight to me as the indie fan. We had Brock come out and save Heyman from the evil Chris Jericho over $200 that they were bickering over. Jimmy Uso fought The Miz. He beat him. And they Usos actually used some dastardly techniques to win.
Oh, yeah?
Jay, I don't think it was meant to look that low, but he punched Miz pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
And then super kick to the face for the win, while Mizdow was doing his I'm the stunt double stuff. Big Show, Rowan. Rowan punches Big Show. Big Show runs away. I'm being very quick here.
Right.
The New Day and Goldust and Stardust were in an excruciatingly long match.
Really?
I think they went to two TV breaks during their match. Cesaro was nowhere to be seen. I think that there was something with Nikki and AJ. I don't know.
No, AJ did not show up on the show. They didn't even really talk very much about it. And they put Nikki and Brie in a match Natalya and
Alicia Fox.
And what happens? Now, granted, it was Brie tapping out to the
sharpshooter,
but why? And Ziggler's team lost.
Oh, right? Yeah.
The IC Champions team lost last night, and the Divas team lost last night. Can you book a champion to be somewhat strong? Can they win every now and then other than just on pay-per-views? I don't know.
Nah.
Not that I care too much about Nikki Bella winning championships or winning matches, but for the love of God, do something here, people.
I mean, you do because she's on your fantasy team.
Yeah, well.
All right. Moving away from Raw, let's talk something positive that came out of wrestling. NXT TakeOver Our Evolution was this past Thursday. I wasn't able to watch it live. I did read the results, and then I've been piecing together the show kind of as I go, watching the matches I wanted to watch first and then watching the ones after that. Despite I didn't watch it probably from start to finish in chronological order, from start to finish, I thought that was a hell of a show. You haven't watched it yet, right?
No, I just haven't at the time.
I don't know what else to say other than every single person put in their best effort. Interesting commentary team with what's his name, Rich Brennan, I believe, is new play-by-play. Well, he's been the play-by-play guy for a little while since Tom Phillips is now on SmackDown. Alex Riley, who I think does a pretty good job.
Does a pretty good job.
The heel color guy. And Corey Graves, who
we
haven't
that.
Seen in a while. He's been working
he
backstage.
Retired,
he officially retired from the ring. And there were moments where he was very good. There were moments where he was a little cringeworthy. It just seemed like he was overplaying his role and being like, you were just a really massive heel before you went out, no nonsense guy. And now you're saying kind of these, I don't know. I talked to him earlier today and he told me that this is like, I just can't imagine you as a guy saying that. But they did a very good job focusing on what's going on in the ring, focusing on the story that is going on between the competitors. Kevin Owens, the former Kevin Steen, made his debut, squashing C.J. Parker.
Which is what everyone does when they make their debut now, is they squash C.J. squash C.J.
Poor
Parker.
I think he's a pretty talented guy, and I hope that something can come
at
for
some
him.
Point, at, hopefully he'll get some traction.
You had... I can't remember what the second match was off the top of my head.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the matches in general. I mean,
yeah,
you had the Lucha Dragons
and the Vaudevillains. Nice match there. Baron Corbin had a squash match against Ty Dillinger. Ty Dillinger is a hell of a talent, and he's sort of getting lost in the shuffle down
there. There's so much talent down
there. Yeah, there is.
And they only have an hour a week.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the opposite problem that the WWE has. I mean, they're just their cup runneth over, so to speak, and they have no TV time to do it. And that's one of the reasons why they're doing such a goddamn good job. But even then, it never seems like I'm lacking for storytelling.
Yeah.
All the matches get plenty of build. You know, everything going on with Sasha Banks and Charlotte, which I heard was a wonderful match.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely good. Great match. Those two had great chemistry. You could tell that there was just this dislike between one another. Like Sasha, like it thinking that, excuse me, that it's her time and she wanted that belt. And I really thought that she was going to go over and win it. And, Charlotte pulled out a big move for the win.
Can I just step in here really quick? And just because we're talking about the NXT's divas, the women in the NXT and Charlotte. What about the match a week ago on Raw where she goes out and loses to Natalya in like 3 minutes?
What
the fuck was the point of that?
Who knows?
I mean, it's not terrible that Charlotte lost. First of all, if you're coming up from NXT, there should be a plan for you and you should be booked strong. That's just number one. But if you're going to plan on having someone come up and lose their first match, they mentioned their match at one of the other NXT specials that was one of the best matches of the year, not women's matches of the year, best matches of the year. And they couldn't give them 5 to 7 minutes. They couldn't let them look like more like equals, and Natalya just kind of goes over and setting up something in the future for them. They just have her win with kind of a flash pin after 3 minutes and then nothing.
I remember reading something about an interview with Triple H, and he was asked why that happened, and he pretty much just backpedaled and gave fluff.
This is my biggest fear about NXT, and we're talking about it was, by all accounts, a great show, and something that I've the best hour of wrestling television that I watch every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch every hour that the WWE produces. Well, not every hour. I don't watch main event. But I watch, you know, all Raw, SmackDown, all the pay-per-views, all that stuff. And NXT is consistently the best. If you see someone like Tyson Kidd killing an NXT, it has no real anything on the main roster. They have great guys down there like Sami Zayn, like Adrian Neville, but if they don't book them strong coming up to the main roster, it will mean absolutely nothing. Charlotte should walk in win the Divas title like Paige did, but only this time be booked strong as a wrestler and have everyone trying to take a shot at her.
And what made that even more bizarre to me was Charlotte came on to Raw with the Divas title or the right. women's title from NXT. That should be a sign of she is the top of the game down there, and they just made it. Well,
and she jobbed to someone who has not even had a Divas title match in a year.
Yeah.
Who isn't even booked. She should be.
Absolutely.
Booked near the top of the Divas division, but she's not even close to it, and she loses in a 3-minute match.
Charlotte beat Natalya for that title.
Right, for sure. But it's illogical. I'm sorry. I digress. Go
back. No, I get it. We had a very nice match with the Ascension against Hideo Itami and Finn Balor. I was really happy to see Balor pull out one of his costumes, his body paintings that I think I've talked about on the show before that he used to pull out in Japan for big time matches. And while maybe on paper this isn't a big time match, it's his first major thing, and maybe it gives people an idea of when Balor needs to come to fight, he goes somewhere different and he plays mind games. He can be this completely different persona when he needs to come out and win big. Hideo played the face in peril for most of the match, leading to the big moment when Balor can get pinned in or tagged in. This is definitely one of the longer matches I've seen the Ascension in, and they did a very good job.
Good.
All four men involved did great. Hideo teased a go to sleep, which got the fans all riled up. You had, before I say the main event, did I miss a match in there?
Vaude Villains and Lucha Dragons.
I said that. Owen's debut, Charlotte, Sasha. I feel like there's one more in there that I'm not remembering, which I could very easily look up, probably using the interwebs.
Just make sure you speak very slowly while you're doing that.
Yes, because I need to fill time. Well, fuck. Never mind.
And dead air. But so how was the championship match?
Quite good. I don't think it was the best match that those two have put on, but you had, especially towards the end, the inner conflict of Sammy, it's finally getting in his head, or not finally, but it's getting in his head, am I going to blow the big one again? And there was a ref bump, and Adrian brought the belt in the ring like he was going to hit Sammy. Sammy gets the belt, and they tease, should I hit Neville with it? No, it's the wrong thing to do, but if I do, I'm going to win. And it seemed like it was forever, but I know it probably wasn't. And Sammy let out at the end point when he finally decided I'm not going to hit him, he goes, fuck that! And he throws it down, like one of the most audible F-bombs, and leads to a really nice ending sequence with him winning the title. The locker room empties out to come and celebrate with him. Kevin Owens, the first person to congratulate him, and Neville gets in back in the ring. Zayn extends his hand for a handshake, and Neville kicks his hand and then goes in for the hug. And shows his respect. Very long celebration sequence, which made what happened after it seem like out of nowhere, but I did call it. Gets out of the ring. Steen. It's going to take me a little bit of time to start calling him Owens. Owens gives him one more hug, and they puts his arm around him. Let's walk back up the ramp together, and then just grabs him, slams him on the ramp, picks him up, and power bombs him really viciously on the side of the ring. And Owens got busted open in his match with Parker, right on the bridge of his nose, and was bleeding pretty bad. Cut opened back up during the celebration, and he was bleeding all during that. So after that, seeing him just have this evil face on with blood pouring down his nose again, was nice. Regal comes out like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And he didn't say that though. Zayn dropped many F-bombs, setting up Owens and Zayn for a nice feud, which if they let them do even half of what they did on the indies when they were feuding, it's going to be something special.
Well, all in all, the NXT has been something special. They put on consistently the best matches, great storylines, simple character-driven stuff. I mean, I have every bit of faith that they'll do well with those guys and with that feud. As much faith I have in them, I have equally as little faith in the WWE to put on coherent, competent storylines.
Yeah. And by the way, I did finally see there was no other matches on that card, so I got it right.
All that dead air for nothing.
Yeah. Let's see. Where are we at on time? 55 minutes. Do you want to do the top five, or do you want to talk about Punk?
What do you want to do?
Let's talk Punk.
I knew you'd like say Punk. That. All right, go ahead.
So, of course, right before Thanksgiving, the big news broke of CM Punk being on the Art of Wrestling, Colt Cabana's podcast, which I highly recommend, and where he finally breaks his silence and talks about what happened, why he isn't in the WWE anymore, and he shed a lot of light on the topic and brought things up that many of us probably never thought about, and he dropped the bomb of being brought back into work, or the real big bomb probably was that he was fired on his wedding day, but talks about coming back from injuries a lot earlier than he should have, or working hurt, or having a staph infection that's not diagnosed for a month or so, that in all accounts should have killed any other human. Staph infections are not anything to take lightly. And just his overall dissatisfaction with doing a thing that he once loved, and feeling like he's not appreciated because they constantly say, "Oh, you put on the best match, but you're not getting paid that way. You're not being put in the big money angles." And you and I were talking earlier how you think a lot of people were saying he was coming off cocky and coming off like money hungry, but I think we both agree that couldn't be further from the truth.
I can understand people taking it that way, but if you just think a little bit, take a step back and think about what he's saying. The frustration is obviously still there. The resentment is obviously still there. He, from what he says, I saw someone breaking down this point by point on a website and saying that there's some inconsistencies with his story and some of these things are not true, which means everything he's saying is a lie. There's two parts to every story. He did not really take a lot of shots at the WWE. He did not come off as purely trying to like revenge and talk shit.
No.
He basically talked about his own situation. He said some not too flattering things about Ryback. He made a couple alluded to a few things about Jericho that probably were not too friendly or pleasant. About, you know, saying that he wouldn't go on someone else's podcast because they're just trying to get views or listens.
Yeah.
And he also made a thing about a comment about on the second episode about guys who wrestle with lifts in their boots. And apparently Jericho is kind of famous that he wrestles with lifts in his boots, which I didn't know. I had to hear that, you know, from some other place.
I know he used to have implants.
Right. pretty boy. But I...
By the way, just real quick on Chris Jericho, while I was watching last night, Ryan, my roommate, goes, "Is that Bon Jovi?"
Yes, it is. So the way I took it was I took everything he said as being honest and straightforward, and the fact that he was telling the story that he has not been able to tell before. He did not get overly vicious. He did not say anything nasty about Vince McMahon. The things he said about Triple H, I thought were just him saying how he personally felt about the guy. I don't think he took any real shots at him. Him saying that he felt that Vince's apology was insincere on Austin's podcast, I think it's true.
Yeah.
If he felt sorry about that, he could have told him at any time. Mm-hmm. He chose to do it in a PR way on Austin's podcast. The analogy that was made to like Barry Sanders walking away and people feeling like you owe him, he owes the fans, I thought was very apt. And I know, I think that's something we talked about maybe on the last podcast.
Yeah, I brought that up in my one
something
one fucking
you had saw.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm actually a Lions fan. I'm from Detroit. And when you said that, I didn't really talk much about it, but it really is kind of hand in hand. The CM Punk owes nothing to the fans. Nothing. Mm-hmm. He gave them entertainment. They bought his merchandise. That's a transaction right there.
Yeah.
A person has to be happy in their life and what they do. And if he wasn't happy in what he was doing, he has every right to walk away. He has every right under his contractual obligations as an independent contractor. I don't care if this contract went through July. This is not, the wrestling business is not a company that pays insurance. It doesn't pay FICA. It doesn't do any of those things. He has every right to just walk away when he wanted to. If he was hurt, if he was pissed, whatever. He had the right to do that. You can't tell me I'm wrong on that. These people, the people that think that they owe him, and he made the comment about, the people saying they bought his house. Right, because they bought his merchandise. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you could say that about anything. Any product you buy that, you know, you're going to walk into a cashier at Walmart and go, you know, I come in here every single day and I buy this, this, and this. I bought your house because some of the profits you get from that go to you. No, it's ridiculous. This is economy. You buy things. The T-shirt's available. You want a T-shirt. You buy a fucking T-shirt. You know, it's preposterous. I thought a lot of the hate was really undeserved. He did talk about money a lot. But if he, with the status he had in that company and the quality that he was putting out as opposed to other people, getting paid less, I don't care if you're getting $10 million. If the guy next to you, who you feel you are better than, that you are more important to than the company, is making $15 million and you're making $10 million, you're pissed off about that. Not because you can't live on $10 million, but because someone else is getting paid more that you feel that you bring more to the table then.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I agree. And this was followed up by the announcement that Punk has signed a contract with the UFC and is going to...
Actually, it was Bellator, right?
No, UFC.
Was it UFC?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Bellator.
No. He signed with UFC and will be fighting in his first match some point in 2012. Well, if Punk didn't already have a bunch of wrestling fans in an uproar, he now has a shit ton of MMA fans in an uproar who are like, what the fuck, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't deserve to be there. He shouldn't be there. And to a certain extent, I kind of agree with them because most of these fighters, they start off in small-time promotions, and they work their way up, get some wins, they get recognized, the UFC brings them in, and then they start having small fights there, where it's obvious that the UFC did this for a a PR purpose. Like, they're going to get a lot of fans that are coming in and buying their pay-per-views, watching their shows, taking care of their sponsors, all during this time. It makes sense financially, but Punk doesn't have really much of a martial arts background. He's been studying jiu-jitsu for a little while, but it's not like he, like Lesnar, who was a undefeated collegiate national champion in wrestling, or Bobby Lashley, who was a wrestler, or even to the extent Herschel Walker, who was one of the most physically, athletically gifted football players of all time, who did an MMA fight. Punk doesn't really have that background, that pedigree in some sort of combat sport of sorts to really hang his coat on, but a lot of, and even some of the fighters are like, I'll be happy to introduce him to the UFC and knock his teeth out. And
you've got a guy who has enough money that he doesn't have to ever work again.
No.
You've got a guy who has obviously a passion for trying this out,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to do it.
Yeah, and that was where I was going to go.
Those are two wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
People have put their blood, sweat, and tears into something, made enough money so they can do what they want with their lives. Beautiful. Wonderful. Everyone should have that opportunity. He has the opportunity. He's going to take it. Number two, how much money is UFC going to make off of CM Punk?
Probably a good bit.
Right. So he's not rising up to the ranks. He's not doing it the quote-unquote right way, maybe people might say. These are businesses. These are purely businesses. There is obviously some people in the sport that, just like in the wrestling business, just like in any kind of sporting event, that, you know, want to do things the right way, that speak about this with reverence and have, you know, pride in their sport. Fact of the matter is these are all companies that are trying to make as much money as possible. That's what they're doing. And if they see dollar signs in CM Punk, if they see dollar signs in any celebrity that they feel that they can come in, they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? People are going to watch it. I don't see who, if he does walk into a ring and get his fucking teeth knocked out in 5 seconds, the only person that lost is CM Punk. He's the guy that got his ass kicked. So many people would be so thrilled to see him get his ass kicked, that's going to be worth the price of admission themselves. UFC got their money. A dude that got to fight him got a chance to shut him up. Once again, who's losing here? You know?
Yeah. I think you might be thinking that, because I remember seeing a rumor that Bellator might be in negotiations with Alberto Del Rio.
That might be it, yeah.
And Del Rio does have an MMA background. He actually has a winning record, despite that he's most well known for having his head nearly decapitated by a kick from Mirko Krokop.
Okay.
In which he actually fought his matches wearing a mask when he was still Dos Caras Jr.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He actually signed, Alberto Del Rio signed with Ring of Honor. He's going to start working with
really?
Them in 2015.
Oh.
Be interesting. They've also gotten AJ Styles to be working a number of their shows. But yeah, Punk's going to go train and fight in the UFC, fight MMA, write some comic books, and make some good money, be married to a very pretty girl that he seems to be pretty keen on, and probably watch a lot of Blackhawks Cubs games and be a pretty happy guy. I don't think anyone out there should be giving him shit for doing what he wants to do and be happy about it.
But people are cynical assholes, and they'll hate anyone who, you know, first of all, they don't have what he has, and second of all, they feel like that he still owes them entertainment in some way.
Yeah, I agree. But so that takes us a little bit over an hour. Anything else you want to
No, I'm good. Really? I've been angry enough today.
We didn't hit a few of the normal things we did, but we had a lot to talk about. So we'll get back on to some of our normal segments on the next episode. Until then, be sure to always check us out on our website, MissSpotsPodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at MissSpots. You can like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/MissSpots. Always, you can find this podcast on iTunes, where you can subscribe to us and get the episodes automatically sent to your device or computer whenever a new one comes out there. If you have a few moments, please rate and review the show. It helps us get up higher in the rankings and maybe get heard by a few people. Tell some friends if they're into wrestling, if they're into podcasts as well, to give us a listen, and maybe we can be friends and watch pay-per-views. No, we probably won't go that far. But we appreciate it, and we'd like to have a conversation with you guys about some wrestling at some point on the social medias and such.
You're starting to sound desperate, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
Mike really just wants some friends.
Yeah, I do. Alcohol's my only friend. No, wrestling is, too. and Kevin.
Thank you.
All right. Until next episode, thanks everybody for listening again, and we'll catch you next time.